get-go.
Just want to start today with a trigger warning disclaimer. This podcast contains descriptions of death and drowning. Hi, I'm Katie Carpenter.
I'm Terry Kovanitz.
We apologize for any and all mistakes today as we begin this episode of Titanic Transcripts.
Okay, so we're hopping back in with Senator Smith's inquiry with Mr. Lightoller. What was the complement of your ship that night in officers?
You mean on deck, sir?
Yes, sir.
Myself and two juniors.
Where were these two juniors stationed?
They have various duties to perform, taking the various parts of the ship, sometimes in the wheelhouse. At different periods, one has to go to the whole rounds of the ship and see that everything's in order.
When you came on watch at 6 o'clock, was the captain on the bridge, or did you see him?
I didn't see him at 6 o'clock.
When did you next see him?
About 5 minutes to nine was the next time I saw him.
About 5 minutes to nine?
Yes, sir.
In his absence, who was on the bridge?
Myself.
Did you relieve him?
The captain?
Yes.
No, sir. The first officer. I beg your pardon. I relieved the chief.
You relieved the chief?
Yes, sir.
And went to the bridge?
I relieved the chief. The chief's watch was from 2 until 6. I relieved the chief officer at 6 o'clock, and then I carried on the watch until 10.
Did you remain on the bridge?
Yes, sir.
From 6 until 10 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
During that time, was each officer or man in his position in the forward part of the vessel?
Yes, sir.
Who was there and where were they stationed?
Two men in the crow's nest, one man at the wheel, and one man standing by.
What was the weather that night?
Clear and calm.
Were you at all apprehensive about your proximity to these icebergs?
No, sir.
And for that reason, you did not think it necessary to increase the official lookout?
No, sir.
And that was not done?
No, sir.
From 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock, was the captain on the bridge at all?
Yes, sir.
When did he arrive?
5 minutes to nine.
5 minutes to nine?
Yes, sir.
But he was not there from 6 o'clock until 5 minutes of 9.
I did not see him, sir.
You would have seen him if he had been there, would you not?
If he had been actually on the bridge, yes, I should have seen him.
You did not see him?
I did not see him.
And you were there during all that time?
During all that time.
When he came to the bridge at 5 minutes of 9, what did he say to you, and what did you say to him? Who spoke first?
I could not say, sir. Probably one of us said good evening.
But you do not know who?
No.
Was anything else said?
Yes. We spoke about the weather, calmness of the sea, the clearness, about what time we should be getting up toward the vicinity of the ice, and how we should recognize it if we should see it, freshening up our minds as to the indications that ice gives of its proximity. We just conferred together, generally, for about 25 minutes.
For 20 or 25 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Was any reference made at that time to the wireless message from the America?
Captain Smith made a remark that if it was in a slight degree hazy, there would be no doubt we should have to go very slowly.
Did you slow up?
That I do not know, sir.
You would have known if it had been done, would you not, during your watch?
Not necessarily so, sure, sir.
Who would give the command?
The commander would send orders down to the chief engineer to reduce her by so many revolutions.
Through a megaphone?
No, sir, by word of hand.
By speaking tube?
No, by word of hand, notes.
Did you see anything of that kind done?
No, sir, I did not see it on the bridge.
And the captain was on the bridge?
Yes, sir.
How long did he remain on the bridge after coming there at 5 minutes of nine?
He remained there until about 20 minutes past nine or something like that.
About 20 minutes past 9?
Yeah, about 25 minutes altogether.
Then did he leave the bridge?
He left the bridge.
With any special instructions upon you?
Yes, sir.
What did he say?
If in the slightest degree doubtful, let me know.
And what did you say to him?
All right, sir.
You kept the ship on its course?
Yes, sir.
And at about the same speed?
Yes, sir, as far as I know.
When did you next see the captain?
When I came out of the quarters, after the impact.
You mean that he did not return to the bridge until your watch expired?
No, sir.
About 10 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
You left?
Yes, sir.
And Murdoch took command?
Yes, sir.
Do you know where you were at the hour that you turned over the watch to Mr. Murdoch?
Not now, sir.
Did you know at the time?
Yes, sir.
Can you give us any idea?
When I ended the watch, we roughly judged that we should be getting toward the vicinity of the ice, as reported by that Marconigram that I saw, somewhere about 11 o'clock.
That you would be in that latitude?
Longitude.
At 11 o'clock?
Somewhere about 11, yes.
Did you talk with Mr. Murdoch about that phase of it when you left the watch?
About what?
I say, did you talk with Mr. Murdoch about the iceberg situation when you left the watch?
No, sir.
Did he ask you anything about it?
No, sir.
What was said between you?
We remarked on the weather, about its being calm and clear. We remarked the distance we could see. We seemed to be able to see a long distance. Everything was very clear. We could see the stars setting down to the horizon.
It was cold, was it not?
Yes, sir.
Sharp?
Yes, sir.
How cold was it?
31, sir.
Above zero?
31 degrees above zero, yes, sir.
Is that unusually cold for that longitude?
No, sir.
At that time of year?
No, sir.
Did you see Mr. Murdoch after that?
Yes, sir. I saw him when I came out of the quarters after the impact.
Where was he?
On the bridge.
With the captain?
One on one side and one on the other side of the bridge. So one on each side.
Did you speak to him after that?
No, sir.
I mean, after he took the watch?
No, sir.
You never spoke to him again?
No, sir.
You were not together when finally parted from the ship?
No, sir.
You saw him on the bridge at that time?
Immediately after the impact? Yes, sir.
Did he remain there until the end?
He was getting the boats out on the starboard side later on.
Later?
Yes, sir.
Did you see him at that work?
No, sir. I was on the port side.
How do you know that he did that?
I saw him at the last boat.
Just what time he left the bridge, I don't suppose you know?
No, sir.
Where did you last see the captain?
On the boat deck, sir.
On the boat deck?
Yes, sir.
How long before the vessel sank?
I could not say, sir. I saw him about the boat deck two or three times. I had no occasion to go to him.
Was the vessel broken in two in any manner or intact?
Absolutely intact.
On the decks?
Intact, sir.
When you came out of your room after the impact, did you see any ice on the decks?
No, sir.
Did you see or hear any exclamations of pain?
No, sir.
Do you know whether anyone was injured?
No, sir.
By ice on the deck?
No, sir.
Tell us as nearly as you can just where you saw the captain last with reference to the sinking of the ship.
I think the bridge was the last place I saw him, sir. I am not sure. I think he was crossing the bridge.
What do you mean by that?
Walking across.
From one side to the other?
No, sir. Just coming across. I merely recognized a glimpse. I have a slight recollection of having seen him whilst I was walking. It is my recollection that I saw him crossing the bridge. I think that was the last.
How large was this bridge? How large was it on the Titanic?
It extends the width of the ship, sir.
It extends the width of the ship?
Yes, sir, and 18 inches over each side.
And how far forward?
In amidships, about 20 feet. In the wings, about 10 feet.
When you saw him, was he giving any orders?
I was not near enough to know, sir.
How near were you?
About 50 feet away.
What did he seem to be doing? Pacing?
No, sir. Not pacing. Just walking straight across, as if he had some object that he was walking toward.
He was walking from one side to the other?
Yes, sir. From starboard to port.
Did that give him a full sweep of view of the situation?
Yes, sir.
If he had been giving orders, would you have heard them?
Yes, sir.
And you did not hear any such thing at that time?
At that time, no, sir.
What were the last orders you heard him give?
When I asked him, "Shall I put the women and children in the boats?" he replied, "Yes, and lower away." Those were the last orders he gave.
Where was he at that time?
About abreast of the number 6 boat.
How long was that before the ship sank?
Approximately somewhere about 12:45, say. I don't know what time it was, sir. It would be only a guess.
It was after the impact?
Yes, sir.
After the collision?
Yes, sir.
And about how long after? What time did the collision occur?
I do not know. I understand, I only gather it, that it occurred shortly before 12 o'clock.
When you heard it, did you look at your watch or make a note of it?
No, sir.
How long was the vessel afloat after this collision?
That I do not know either, only from what I was told.
And what were you told?
I was told she sunk at 2:20.
Who told you that?
We came to the conclusion amongst the officers by various indications.
Did any officer that you communicated with know the exact moment of this impact or collision?
That I could not say, sir.
Of course, you had a watch with you.
No, sir.
Did you have a watch in your room?
In my room, yes, sir.
Did you keep it, or is it gone?
Oh, it is gone, sir.
You did not know whether it was running or stopped? You did not look at it?
I did not look at it, sir.
You asked the captain on the boat deck whether the lifeboats should take the women and children first, if I understood you correctly?
Not quite, sir. I asked him, shall I put the women and children in the boats? The captain replied, yes, and lower away.
And what did you do then?
I carried out his orders.
Except as to this one boat that could not be lowered.
I am speaking of the port side of the ship. I was running the port side only.
Were all of the boats lowered on the port side?
They were all lowered with the exception of one, the last boat, which was stowed on top of the officers' quarters. We had not time to launch it nor open it yet.
I did not get the first word. Was it injured?
No, sir. I said that it was stowed on top of the officers' quarters, and when all the other boats were carried away, I called for the men to go up there, told them to cut her adrift and throw her down.
How did it happen to be stowed up there? Was that an unusual place for it?
No, sir.
Well, what happened to that boat?
It floated off ship, sir.
It just floated off?
Yes.
Was anyone in it?
I understand the men standing on top, who assisted to launch it down, jumped into it as it was on the deck and floated off with it.
Whoa, what type of boat was it?
Collapsible.
Did you see it afterwards?
Eventually. It was the boat that I got on.
Eventually, that was the boat that you got on?
Yes, sir. Bottom up.
Did you see the captain after that final order with reference to the women and children?
Yes, sir.
Where?
Walking across the bridge, sir.
Did you have any further communication with him?
No, sir. None.
So far as you know, was that the last place that he was seen?
I could not say, sir.
You don't know what occurred to the captain after that?
No, sir.
This lifeboat, which was taken from top of the officers' quarters and that you finally reached, contained how many people?
When it floated off the ship?
Yes.
I could not say how many.
How many after you had gotten in?
We were thrown off a couple of times. It was cleared. It was a flat, collapsible boat. When I came to it, it was bottom up and there was no one in it.
No one on it?
And it was on the other side of the ship.
What did you do when you came to it?
I hung on to it.
You floated with it merely?
Yes, sir.
Was that all the service it ever rendered? Was that the only service this lifeboat performed?
No, sir. Eventually, about 30 of us got into it.
Tell us just how that occurred.
From the time the ship went down, you mean?
No, from the time you found this overturned lifeboat.
Yes, sir. Immediately after finding the overturned lifeboat, when I came up alongside of it, there were quite a lot of us in the water around it, preparatory to getting up on it.
With life preservers?
Yes, sir. Then the forward funnel fell down.
Were there any persons there without life preservers?
No, sir. Not that I know of. The forward funnel falling down, it fell alongside of the lifeboat, about 4 inches clear of it.
What was that that fell?
The forward funnel.
Did it strike the boat?
It missed the boat.
Then what?
It fell on all the people there were alongside of the boat, if there were any there.
Injure any of them seriously?
I could not say, sir.
Did it kill anybody?
I could not say, sir.
Was this vessel sinking pretty rapidly at that time?
Pretty quickly, sir.
Do you know any of the men who were in the water as you were and who boarded this lifeboat?
Yes, sir.
Give their names.
Mr. Thayer, a first-class passenger. The second Marconi operator. I can tell you his name in a minute. Bride.
Was that the boat that Colonel Gracie was...
Oh, yes, and Colonel Gracie.
Colonel Gracie of the United States Army?
I think I have his card.
It was Colonel Gracie, anyway?
Colonel Gracie was on the upturn boat with me, yes.
Was he on the upturn boat before you got it righted around?
We never righted it.
You never righted it?
No, sir, we could not.
Who else was there?
I think all of the rest were firemen taken out of the water, sir. Those are the only passengers that I know of.
No other passengers?
There were two or three that died. I think there were three or four who died during the night.
Aboard this boat with you?
Yes, sir. I think the senior Marconi operator was on the boat and died. The Marconi junior operator told me that the senior was on his boat and died.
From the cold?
Presumably.
Not from the blow of this?
No, not that I know of.
How many persons altogether?
I should roughly estimate about 30. She was packed standing from stem to stern at daylight.
Was there any effort made by others to board her?
We took on board all that we could.
I understand, but I wanted to know whether there was any effort made by others to get on board.
Not that I saw.
There must have been a great number of people in the water.
But not near us. They were some distance away from us.
How far?
Seemed about a half a mile.
Was not this the only raft or craft in sight?
It was dark, sir.
Yes, but this was the only thing there was to get on at that time?
With the exception of the wreckage.
With the exception of what floated off the ship?
Yes, sir.
In the form of wreckage?
Yes, sir.
Did you see Colonel Gracie?
I don't know whether I saw him, sir. I met him on the Carpathia afterwards, of course.
Do you remember seeing him in the water?
No, sir.
Who took command of that overturned lifeboat?
I did, as far as command was necessary.
Did your judgment rule the conduct of those on it?
Yes, sir. That is my reason for saying that I believe it was mostly the crew of the ship because of implicit obedience.
When you left the ship, did you see any women or children on board?
None whatsoever.
Could you give us any estimate whatever as to the number of first and second class passengers that were on board when the ship went down?
No, sir.
Were there any on the so-called boat deck?
Yes, sir.
Were there quite a number, in your opinion?
A number of people. What they were, first, second, third, crew, or firemen, I could not say, sir.
But there were many people still on the ship?
Yes, sir.
And so far as you could observe, could you tell whether they were equipped with life preservers?
As far as I could see, throughout the whole of the passengers, or the whole of the crew, everyone was equipped with a life preserver. I looked for it especially.
Were the passengers on those decks instructed at any time to go to one side of the or the other of the ship?
Yes.
What do you know about that?
When the ship was taking a heavy list, not a heavy list, but she was taking a list over to port, the order was called, I think, by chief officer, everyone on the starboard side to straighten her up, which I repeated.
How long before you left the ship?
I could not say, sir.
About how long?
Half an hour or three quarters of an hour.
Before you left?
Yes.
How are these passengers selected in going to lifeboats?
By their sex.
Whenever you saw a woman?
Precisely.
She was invited to go into one of those boats?
Excepting the stewardesses. We turned several of those away.
Oh, except the employees?
Except the stewardesses, yes.
And did you see any attempt made to get women to enter the lifeboats who refused to go?
Yes, sir.
How many?
I couldn't say, sir.
Several?
A few.
What reason was given why they did not?
I had not time. I did not notice. Just merely they would not come.
Did they ask that their families be taken?
Yes. One or two.
And were families taken, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Were the boat that was on top of the officers' quarters that overturned and the boat that was stuck in the tackle both made use of in any way or but one?
But one.
So that altogether there were how many lifeboats actually used?
19.
How many actually picked up by the Carpathia?
All accounted for.
One, however, was badly injured, and another lifeboat took the passengers from it, did they not?
That was the upturned one that I was on.
That was the upturned one that you were on?
Yes, sir.
And they took you into another lifeboat?
Yes, sir.
All of those who were with you?
Yes, sir.
Was the lifeboat full at the time?
I counted 65 heads, not including myself or any that were in the bottom of the boat. I roughly estimated about 75 in the boat.
Was the boat safe with that number of people in it?
Safe in smooth water only.
How many of those lifeboats did you help load?
All except one or two on the port side.
Who determined the number of people who should go into the lifeboats?
I did.
And how did you reach a conclusion as to the number that should be permitted to go in?
My own judgment about the strength of the tackle.
How many did you put in each boat?
In the first boat, I put about 20 or 25. 20, sir.
How many men?
No men.
How many seamen?
Two.
In the first boat?
Yes, sir.
Was that sufficient to take care of the boat?
We wanted them up on deck.
For what purpose?
Lowering away the boats.
Do you mean that there would not have been sufficient on deck and to man the lifeboats at the same time?
Not to distribute more than two to a boat, sir. It would not be safe.
That is not the usual requirement, is it? Two to a boat?
Quite sufficient under the conditions.
As a matter of fact, women were obliged to row those boats for hours?
Yes, a great many did, I know.
That indicated that they were not fully equipped.
Not necessarily, sir.
How many oars in a boat?
I think it is 16, the full equipment.
How many persons can use an oar at one time? I do not mean how many can, but I mean how many ordinarily would.
Do you mean during boat practice, for instance?
I should like to know how many during practice, and I should like to know how many in actual danger such as this.
We would man about 5 oars a side. In the boat I was in, we could only pull 3 oars.
You couldn't pull at all, could you, in your boat?
We managed to keep our head to the sea with 3 oars.
You mean you got hold of 3 oars after this boat was turned over?
No, sir, the one that picked us up afterwards.
Oh, you did not have any means of propelling your craft until you were taken from this upturned boat?
A couple bits of wood that we picked up only.
You say 5 men on a side?
As far as I remember, 5 a side.
Does that mean that a single individual would be in an oar?
Not necessarily. You can do what we call double or treble bank.
And tell me what that is?
2 or 3 pulling abreast of one another. One holding on an oar here, another there, and another one there.
Abreast?
Abreast. Another couple in front turned around facing and pushing the oar.
Pushing?
Yeah, pushing by standing up in the boat.
So that it is entirely possible and often the case that men face one another in working these oars?
Precisely.
And therefore, in the case of a boat with its full complement of men, one man might be where he could see the ship pulling with his back to the sea, and another with his back to the ship and his face to the sea?
Precisely.
You say there were about 25 in the first lifeboat?
About that.
And that it was loaded under your orders?
Under my orders.
What happened to that lifeboat, the first one loaded?
It was loaded and sent away from the ship.
Did it not return to the ship because it was only half loaded?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
As a matter of fact, it was not much more than half loaded, was it?
You mean its floating capacity?
Yes.
Floating capacity, no.
How did it happen you did not put more people into that boat?
Because I did not consider it safe.
In a great emergency like that, where there were limited facilities, could you not have afforded to try to put more people into the boat?
I did not know it was urgent then. I had no idea it was that urgent.
You did not know it was urgent?
Nothing like it.
Supposing you had known it was urgent, what would you have done?
I would have acted to the best of my judgment then.
Tell me what you would have thought wise.
I just would have taken more risks. I should not have considered it wise to put more in, but I might have taken risks.
As a matter of fact, are not these lifeboats so constructed as to accommodate 40 people?
65 in the water, sir.
65 in the water and about 40 as they are being put in the water?
No, sir.
How many?
No, sir. It all depends on your gear, sir. If it were an old ship, you would barely dare to put 25 in.
But this was a new one.
And therefore, I took chances with her afterwards.
You put 25 in?
In the first.
And 2 men?
And 2 men.
How were those 2 men selected? Arbitrarily by you?
No, sir. They were selected by me, yes.
Who were they?
I could not say, sir.
How did you happen to choose those particular men?
Because they were standing near.
Did they want to go?
I did not ask them.
You did not call for volunteers?
They went by my orders.
You directed that it should be done?
Yes.
And they got in?
They did.
And 23 people besides?
I should say about 24, something like that.
Did you see any lifeboat return to the ship and take on additional passengers?
No, sir.
How many did the second boat contain?
About 30.
How many men?
2.
How many women and children?
About 30.
Women or women and children?
I should say roughly 30 and probably grown-ups.
What side were you loading on?
On the port side of the ship, sir.
Were those 30 lowered?
Yes, lowered and sent away.
From what deck?
From the boat deck.
You did not know, I suppose, whether they were first or second cabin passengers?
No.
There were 2 men?
2 men, as far as I remember, sir.
Did you see that boat again alongside or any place else?
By the Titanic, sir?
Yes.
No, not to my knowledge.
How many did the third boat contain?
By the time I came to the third boat, I was aware that it was getting serious, and then I started to take chances.
How long did it take to lower a boat, fill it and lower it?
Just filling it and lowering it and not clearing away?
Filling and lowering and clearing.
We clear it away first, then heave it out over the side, then lower it down level with the rail, and then commence to fill it with people. Previous to that, we have taken the covers all off, haul out all the falls, and coil them down clear.
How long do you think it took you to uncover and lower that lifeboat?
It is difficult to say, sir. 15 or 20 minutes.
Were there any lifeboats being lowered from the other side at the same time?
I do not know, sir.
How did it happen that you had charge of that feature?
Because I took charge.
You took charge of it?
Yes, sir.
And where was Mr. Murdoch at that time?
As far as I know, he had charge of the starboard side.
How many passengers did the third boat contain?
I can only guess. I filled her up as full as I could and lowered her as full as I dared.
How many seamen?
Two.
You followed that rule?
I followed that rule throughout.
You filled it full?
As full as I possibly dared.
Did you have any difficulty in doing it?
In what manner?
Were the people ready to go?
Perfectly quiet and ready.
Any jostling or pushing or crowding?
None whatsoever.
The men all refrained from asserting their strength and crowding back the women and children?
They could not have stood quieter if they had been in church.
If you had filled that third boat full, how many people would you have had in it?
What do you mean by full?
To its full capacity.
65.
Beg pardon?
65, sir.
Do you think you had that many in it?
Certainly not, sir.
How many did you have?
35, I should say, sir.
35?
About.
And two men?
Yes.
Then the fourth boat. Was there any fourth boat on that side?
There were 8 boats to a side.
As to the fourth boat, you followed the same course?
Same order, the same conditions.
You put 2 men in each?
I think I was getting short of men, if I remember rightly. I started putting 1 seaman and a steward in.
1 seaman and a steward?
Yes. That was the boat I had to put a man passenger in. I could only find 1 seaman. I had started to lower the boat. I had put 2 seamen in, and then I wanted 2 for lowering. It is absolutely necessary to have a seaman on each fall. No one else can lower a boat. I was calling for seamen, and one of the seamen jumped out of the boat and started lowering away. The boat was halfway down when the woman called out and said there was only 1 man in the boat. I had only 2 seamen, and I could not part with them, and I was rather in a fix to know what to do, when a passenger called out and said, "If you like, I will go."
Did you know him?
I did not.
Was he an officer of the ship?
No, sir, a first-class passenger.
And you don't know who he was?
I have found out who he was since.
And who was he?
Major Pachuin.
Of Toronto?
Of Toronto. That is the name, yes.
Is he an officer of the British Army?
I do not know what he is. He is not a Britisher anyway.
Did he volunteer?
No, sir.
And what did he say?
He merely said, "I will go if you like." I said, "Are you a seaman?" And he said, "I am a yachtsman." I said, "If you're sailor enough to get out on that fall, that is a difficult thing to get to over the ship's side 8 feet away, and it means a long swing on a dark night. So I said, if you are sailor enough to get out there, you can go down." And he proved he was by going down. And he afterwards proved himself a brave man, too.
In what respect?
From the accounts I heard of him after we were rescued.
You mean as to his conduct?
As to his conduct.
In the lifeboat?
In the lifeboat.
How old a man was he, about?
45 or 50.
Did he have any family with him?
I couldn't say, sir.
Had you ever seen him before?
Never.
Have you seen him since?
I saw him on the Carpathia. I made it my business to find him.
How many did you say you had in this boat?
35, about the same as far as I remember.
That is the fourth one. How about the fifth?
As far as I know, the conditions were the same.
Did you have to call somebody from among the passengers?
No, sir. I cannot remember anything in particular about that boat.
About the fifth?
No, sir. No particular incident strikes me. I was getting along then, just as fast as I ever could. I was too quick to bother about things.
How many women were you caring for? How many did you have aboard the ship?
I could not say.
Do you know whether they were all cared for?
I could not say, sir.
All that would go?
In the case of the last boat I got out, I had the utmost difficulty in finding women. It was the very last boat of all, after all the other boats were put out, and we came forward to put out the collapsible boats. In the meantime, the forward emergency boat had been put out by one of the other officers, so we rounded up the tackles and got the collapsible boat to put that over. Then I called for women, and I could not get a hold of any. Somebody said, "There are no women." With this, several men...
Who said that?
I do not know, sir.
On what deck was that?
On the boat deck.
Were all the women supposed to be on the boat deck?
Yes, sir. They were supposed to be.
Why?
Because the boats were there. I might say that previous to putting this berth on boat out, we had lowered a boat from A deck, one deck down below. That was through my fault. It was the first boat I had lowered. I was intending to put the passengers in from A deck. On lowering it down, I found the windows were closed. So I sent someone down to open the windows and carried on with the other boats, but decided it was not worth while lowering them down, that I could manage just as well from the boat deck. When I came forward from the other boats, I loaded the boat from A deck by getting the women out through the windows. My idea in filling the boats there was because there was a wire hawser running alongside of the ship for coaling purposes, and it was handy to tie the boat into to hold it so that nobody could drop between the side of the boat and the ship.
And which one was that?
That is number four boat.
That was filled from there.
That was filled from there, loaded and sent away. Then we went on to this berth on boat.
In the fifth boat. In the fifth boat, how many seamen were there?
As far as I remember, two seamen.
Two?
Yes, sir.
How many people did you put into it?
I might have put a good deal more. I filled her up as much as I could. When I got down to the fifth boat, that was aft.
You were still using your best judgment?
I was not using very much judgment then. I was just filling them up.
At that time, you felt that...
I knew it was a question of the utmost speed to get the boats away.
To get them away?
Yes, sir.
In that situation, you were quite sure that they were filled to their capacity?
Yes, sir. I don't say to their floating capacity. I don't say 65.
But about the same number of persons were in each boat?
I should say about 35 or 40.
Was the sixth one loaded in the same manner?
I think the sixth one put down was this one from A deck that I spoke of. No, the fifth one would be from A deck. I think the chief officer, under his direct supervision, lowered a boat from the after end. Of course, I cannot be absolutely certain, but when I came forward, as I say, I put the boat down from A deck, which I told you about. Then we went to the berth on boat, which is the last boat on the port side, the collapsible boat.
The fifth boat was lowered in the same manner?
Yes, sir. I think it was the fifth from the A deck.
With two seamen?
Yes.
And the balance women?
Women and children.
Women and children. Up to this time, so far as you recollect, no men had been permitted to get into these boats?
None had attempted to do so, no, sir.
How about the sixth boat?
That is the collapsible, the surf boat?
That is the collapsible. Did you take the same course with that?
That is a much smaller boat.
How many seamen did you put in that?
I think there was one seaman and one steward. I could not say.
Do you recollect whether there was a light on that boat?
No, sir. I was not looking for lights.
Do you recollect whether Mrs. Douglas of Minneapolis was in that boat?
I do not know her at all, sir.
Have you had any talk with her about it?
I've never spoken to her or seen her, to my knowledge.
How many people were put into the sixth boat?
15 or perhaps 20, between 15 and 20.
And two seamen?
I do not know what seamen...
Or one...
I think one seaman, probably, if I had one seaman on there. Perhaps it was two stewards. I do not know, sir.
Would the two stewards answer the same purpose?
They would have to.
Did you select the men to take that boat, the same you had before?
You mean whether I ordered them in?
Yes.
Yes, I ordered them in.
But you cannot recall who they were?
I was just thinking, no, not with any degree of certainty.
Were any of them officers?
No, sir.
Did you have any difficulty in filling it?
With women, yes, sir, a great difficulty.
But you filled it to its capacity?
I filled it with about 15 or 20 eventually mustered up. It took longer to fill that boat than it did any other boat, notwithstanding that the others had more in them. On two occasions, the men thought there were no more women and commenced to get in, and then found one or two more, and then got out again.
How long a time do you think you'd been loading these six boats?
I do not know, sir.
If it took 15 to 20 minutes to a boat?
About an hour and a half.
About an hour and a half?
That is about right.
The vessel must have been going down.
I lowered the last boat 10 feet and it was in the water.
You lowered it 10 feet and it was in the water?
Yes, sir.
When you began lowering, the boat was about 60 feet up from the water.
70 feet.
From the water?
Yes, sir.
I mean the deck.
From the deck, exactly, sir.
What did you do with the seventh boat?
That was the finish.
What was that?
The seventh boat was the one on top of the quarters.
That was the last boat that was lowered by your orders?
It was the last. It was not lowered.
Okay, we're going to pause here because this is a very, very long interview.
Yeah, it's getting juicy.
Very.
So first of all, I do want to say before I forget that no wonder there was so much confusion on whether there were enough lifeboats to hold the passengers, because the first couple people had said that the lifeboats were decided based on ship size, and now Lightholder's saying it's based on passenger size or passenger amount, and that they didn't load them until the ship was about to take off. And then if they're able to hold 65 or 70 people, to everybody's knowledge, but only some of the crew knows that you can't lower them fully. I mean, what?
Right. Yeah, chaos. They can float with 65, but you the can't things that lower them would break. So you got to lower it.
I never considered that.
No, me neither. And how about the stewardesses?
Oh, I know. Yes.
But I'm women.
Yeah, I know how to control. You know, they have knowledge too. Yeah. And then I love the whole, like, hullabaloo about, were there some women rowing? Like, yeah. That is probably the last consideration I would have right. When we're trying to save multiple lives.
And how about them loading the boat and then saying, oh, we have a woman, so everybody getting out?
Yeah,
instead of just how many women, how about three you get out, or let's put them all in?
Or putting the women in as well.
Yeah, this is really wild.
Yeah, it's really getting wild. Weird. I also like, this is just a real aside, but that he called it a Marconigram instead of a telegram. That was better for us.
I guess I really like Lightholder, and I hope he didn't do anything bad.
Yeah, he does seem like a cool guy that, you know, would be fun to have on a ship, but he does also seem like he's in a bad position, because it seems so far like he might be the highest-ranking officer that has survived.
But he did so much.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, I imagine, working, like, doing your job during a... I know that is part of their job, but you don't expect to come up with that kind of, or come up against that kind of tragedy, and then just in any other setting, like, could you imagine still bringing people their lunch at a diner or something? Yeah. Or I remember when I was a security guard and there was an incident, people were still having me stamp their parking pass.
Oh my God.
While I was interacting with the police and stuff. So that's just so wild to think about them having to continue their job. And then to be asked so many questions. I mean, I can barely remember what happened yesterday, you know?
And in order, too.
And I didn't almost die, so it's such a... It's so heavy.
But in Senator's defense, I have to say that he probably asked the double questions because, you know, he's writing stuff down. And he's never... Yeah. He doesn't know anything about a boat, so a lot of this is, like, new information to him.
Yeah, exactly. I've been curious about that in the back of my mind a little bit, that this is like 4 or 5 days after the tragedy. So as soon as it sank, did the Senate come together and start writing questions? Like, who decided, okay, we're bringing him right here to ask some questions first before anybody goes anywhere? And then...
And does he have a list of questions? Or just winging it?
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Oof. They're getting more and more juicy.
Well, I'm pretty excited to get to the next one.
A note from the readers, we want to thank you guys for listening, and we really value your feedback, so please let us know what you're thinking, either in the comments or at titanictranscripts@gmail.com. ¶¶